about two-thirds into our summer series on Psalms of Creativity and Rest. And our psalm today begins on repeat, as many of these psalms begin. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things. We are called to sing for joy again this Sunday, as we have been invited to sing songs, new songs, to enter into creativity and rest during the whole of this series. Now, I understand why, for some of you, these psalms may be difficult for us to enter authentically. You know, all during the week, we are hearing about and are experiencing great darkness and suffering, the starvation of the Gazian people, climate change disasters, economic insecurity out of our control, our own personal or family challenges. We may more likely connect with Psalms of Lament. Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our harps, for there our captives asked us for songs, our tormentors asked us for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" How could we sing? How can we be expected to sing in light of the deep suffering we hear about and that we experience in our lives and in the world? Where is there a place for singing new songs, you may ask? We don't deserve rest. We feel guilty. We don't feel joy. We don't have faith in a good God right now. Fair enough. Indeed, the book of Psalms includes psalms of deep lament like Psalm 137 for times like this. And I began the sermon series in June saying this, and I will remind us again that psalms of lament may be more authentic to where you are at spiritually, to where you engage with the world at this time, and that is also a very good and appropriate way of worshiping and being. I've been reading over my holiday and in these past weeks two books about the days of slave trade in the 1700s and 1800s in the Americas and the Caribbean islands. I'm not sure why I'm torturing myself. One book was about the long slog of the British abolitionists, and now I'm in the midst of reading a novel that is basically 500 pages of suffering. It's called The Book of Negroes, which refers to the military ledger, which was called, that allowed 3,000 black loyalists to move from the States to Nova Scotia. It's written by a Canadian author, Lawrence Hill. The story is about the life of one woman who kidnapped into slavery at the age of 11. Her parents were killed, her village was burned, and she lived the life of a captured slave. I'm only in the middle of the book right now, just after the description of the horrific slave ship that she was on. And I'm reminded that the colonial slave trade was so evil and caused deep, deep suffering in our world for three centuries and beyond. There's a scene in the book where the slaves who had been suffering on this ship revolted on their journey over, and they raged violently against the slaves' captains on the ship with revengeful hatred. And if you wanted to read the end of Psalm 137, you hear the author singing that kind of revengeful rage against their oppressors, so much so that their song turns into a curse and says, "Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock," an expression of real raw lament, turn curse because of the evil, the suffering they were experiencing. Of course, we do not condone this behavior, but this kind of deep lament needs to be expressed in the face of deep suffering. Psalms of creativity and rest are inviting us to sing new songs. But perhaps what we need is to sing old songs, the old songs of deep suffering and lament, the old songs where nothing ever changes, the old songs that cannot believe in a good God when there's so much suffering and evil allowed on our earth, the old songs that have been sung and repeated over centuries with rising and falling dictatorships and oppressive leaders in power who dehumanize, who torture, who crush people in groups across history. We're familiar with these old songs of lament, these old songs of suffering, defeat, and sadness. Suffering is a part of our world and has always been in our world. The question for those of you who are ready, the question this series asks of us is this: what does it mean to sing a new song in a world that cries out with such inhumanity and insecurity? What does it mean to sing a new song? When I was researching Psalm 98, some scholars noted that historically this song was sung after a military victory. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Other translations read, has worked victory for him. It doesn't name specific enemies or the historical event, but it alludes to victory in battle. And Israel, who was never a world power at the time of this psalm writing, we're not talking about modern-day Israel's state here. We're talking about a fledgling, small, marginalized people group who were constantly overrun by oppressors. This day, they are singing a new song because they have won a battle, and they attribute this act of justice to God, hearing their cries. They sing a new song of joy and gratitude to God. I also discovered in researching this psalm that in churches who follow the lectionary, this psalm is read on Christmas Day. So if you know the lectionary cycle, there are specific scriptures that are designated for preachers to preach on over a 3-year cycle. And on every Christmas Day, Psalm 98 is to be read. It makes sense to read Psalm 98 on Christmas Day in the context of celebrating the birth of Christ. Christmas is the day we celebrate our God choosing to enter the deep suffering of our earth as a compassionate companion, as healer, as the one who suffers with. Christmas Day is the day we celebrate God coming as a child who brings in nonviolent, peaceful, upside-down kingdom. Christmas Day is appropriately the day we sing songs of joy. But is it only on Christmas Day that our faith allows us to sing a new song? One of the stories shared in a commentary that I was reading was of a pastor who looked out on her congregation on Christmas Day and saw her own people struggling with their challenges of life, including a wife and mother of small children who battled cancer for months and was at the end of her life. However, on this Christmas Day, this mother wanted to sing a solo, "O Holy Night," as she always had every Christmas. She wanted to sing even in her weakened state. And some of her last words to the congregation were this: "None of us knows the length of our days, so please find that song that makes your heart sing and sing it. None of us knows the length of our days, so please find that song that makes your heart sing and sing it." She left this life singing. I am hoping I am hoping that this series on creativity and rest open up this question for us. What kind of spirituality gives hope and the ability to persevere amidst so much suffering? What kind of spirituality can give us hope? Perhaps it includes singing old songs of lament. And perhaps it is singing new songs of hope. Radical songs of joy that truly declare something new, because our God is a giver of new songs. When we look in history to those who have experienced deep suffering, what has been the spirituality that sustains them at this time? Interestingly, in the 1980s, the military junta of Argentina, another one of those oppressive times in history, this time for the Argentinians, this military regime prohibited people to sing the Magnificat during the Christmas season, which is a significant song that Catholics traditionally sing during Christmas. The Magnificat is the song that Mary sang. It's recorded in Luke 2 when she realized she was pregnant with the Christ child, and it goes like this. My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because God has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty-handed. This new song of joy was too radical for the Argentinian government. This song was too threatening to be sung. And in another time, the time of slave trade, the slaves sang to one another, to communicate, to protest, to unify, to give hope. Singing has been a huge part of the civil rights movement, of anti-apartheid movements. Suffering people have sung songs, not only laments, but particularly songs of joy in their darkest moments. If we look at the suffering in biblical history, Paul and Silas, they sung hymns when they were imprisoned, not knowing if they were going to be flogged or killed the next day. Jesus sang with his disciples during the Passover meal that night before he was betrayed and tortured. The Hebrew people sang songs of joy when they were freed from Egypt, and they created this book of psalms of hope and joy when they were in exile. They sang songs of hope and joy in exile to sustain them. We as humans were created to sing, to create, to make music, even in the midst of suffering, as a way of protest, to give sustenance and hope, to keep us close to each other and to keep us close to another reality than what we see on the ground. To remind us that humans are made for something better than causing suffering. And we are to embody something better and to live that by singing, even though the full kingdom of God is not realized yet. So what does it mean for you to sing a new song? Why would you sing a new song today? Why do we come each Sunday singing songs of lament and songs of joy? Songs that keep us humane, that give us hope, that point us to deeper trust in a good God. If you are open to entering Psalm 98 today, we are invited to sing about a God of love and faithfulness and justice. We are invited to get our instruments together and to be creative, to make music with our hands and our voices. And at Grandview here, the music is wonderful. It's fun. We love our worship leaders and our musicians who share their gifts to us so that every Sunday we can creatively sing and rest when the other part of our week is so full of the old order of things. Psalm 98 ends with calling us, not only us as humans to sing songs, but for the whole creation to hope in a just and good God, to bring about equity and right relating to the whole earth. As in all our 90s psalms so far, these psalms of enthronement, we are reminded that God does not intend to be a tribal God of one people group, but the creator God, the God of justice and mercy, concerned with the whole of earth, all peoples, and all creation being brought into this world of joy. Even in verse 7, the sea is mentioned. We remember the sea is a symbol of world chaos and uncertainty. The sea is resounding here and singing a new song. The justice that God will bring someday will be a holistic salvation for all peoples and for the seas and for the rivers and for the mountains that are also in need of saving from destruction. These new songs acknowledge that we need a savior, someone good who can show us how to stop destroying ourselves, one another, and the created world. So even in the midst of deep darkness and suffering, insecurity around us, can you sing a new song? Are you tired of your old song? What new song are you wanting to sing? What new song gives you hope? What new song engages your creativity, brings you out of despair, out of your old jargon and old theology and old accusations? What is the new song that makes your heart sing? We are called to sing new songs, to enact what new way for the world that God offers and desires. We sing new songs not to deny darkness, not to deflect darkness, not to cover over darkness. We sing new songs to challenge the darkness. We sing new songs to create new pathways, to show signs of newness in our old, tired, suffering world. So in contrast to Psalm 137, an old song of a lament, how can I sing in a foreign land? There is a song similar to Psalm 98 that is called, How Can I Keep From Singing? How can I keep from singing? To be honest, it isn't really a new song. It was written by a Baptist minister in the mid-1800s, and it was made popular by Peter Seeger. How do I say his name? Peter Seeger? Seeger, thank you. I knew I had it wrong, in the 60s. It points toward a spirituality where we can lament honestly with each other, as well as sing songs of hope and joy. Sing new songs, because ultimately we believe and we trust and we follow and we embody a good and just God who's constantly doing new things, who has capacity for new things, who truly brings new things into this world. These new things may look like small seeds, but they are indications of what is to come and indications of how to live well in a world of suffering. What kind of spirituality can sustain the deep suffering of our world? Those who sing a new song, even in the darkness. I invite us to sing a new song together now. How can we keep from singing?